Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm David Remnick, and this is Kristen.
Who's a lesbian from the 80s or 90s? Let me Google this. 90s lesbian. 90s lesbian. Melissa Etheridge releases lesbian anthem, Come to My Window. What is this? Oh, this song. Okay, yeah, no, I totally know this song. Vaguely. It's not like a bop for me per se, but like, yeah, this hits.
Kristen Tomlinson is a radio rookie, and that's a program at WNYC that trains people to make documentaries about their own lives. Kristen has come of age with a conception of gender identity that for some who are older is a little difficult to understand.
Mostly like, you know, I can be anything. I can be a boy or a girl or things that are in between or, you know, vastly out of the realm of the binary.
Kristen describes herself as gender fluid, and she's found a lot of her role models online.
The internet is where you can craft a version of yourself and you figure out who you want to become. For me, I was born and look like a black girl. I'm 5'7". Most days I wear black lipstick and Doc Martens and never smile. Some days I want to look cute, showy, and sweet. And other days I'll feel comfortable, like I just want to wear dark clothes and sweatpants. And on another day, a button-down shirt. It's never tied to a binary feeling.
There's definitely a kind of generation gap here between a young, gender-fluid person like Kristen, who resists the binaries, and an older generation of gay and lesbian people who came of age in a very different, much more rigid climate. Kristen set out to explore that generation gap.
Could I ask, like, your sexuality?
I'm lesbian.
Okay. See, this is the first time I've ever talked to, like, an older black lesbian before. Like, I've always been around straight adults my whole life, so I don't know. This is, like, really giddy for me. I met Paulette when I went to SAGE, a place in Harlem for older LGBTQ people to meet and mingle. She's the epitome of all struggle stories that you read about in your life. You know, you have to be in the closet. You have to pretend to be straight. I mean, Paulette told me she got pregnant at 17, and later she got married in her 20s.
It was hard beyond belief. I had to bury who I was.
On her wedding day, she felt horribly sick.
To live that life, to live a straight life, without understanding that you don't have to, it's a feeling like this, something's not right. It's no balance. I'm out of sorts. To describe it, this is how I describe my life. I was in, you know, a manhole going into the ground. I was in that ground with the heaviest and the darkest manhole cover covering my head, and I couldn't breathe. It was horrible. It was horrible. It hurts my soul that I did that. I came to understand it was a trade-off. Would I do it again? Never. Never.
Paulette eventually came out, and she's proud to identify as lesbian. But the terms that Kristen uses to describe herself and the language are still new to Paulette.
So we've had to educate ourselves. We've got all these colors and banners and...
Mm-hmm. All the pride flags.
Oh, Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just know the rainbow colors.
Yeah. So for transgender, pink is for the female part, blue is for the male part, and then white actually symbolizes non-binary, which falls under me. So, because I identify as non-binary or gender fluid.
So what's the point of so much different terminologies and verbiage to say basically the same thing?
I think it's just preference at the end of the day. Honestly, I don't know. I used to identify as bisexual, but when I heard pansexual, it just felt better to me because bi uses like bi, it's two, but like
it's many. Because see, in my mind, this is a very good topic for intergenerational conversations. It's important that each generation has a language they can identify with. Mm-hmm. Back in my day was butch femme. Bisexual was just nasty. Sorry, but that's how it was.
Like promiscuous?
Yeah, it was just nasty. And you're straight. That was it. You need to have your language to identify with your needs. And what they did 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago doesn't. Mm-hmm. So to have a conversation with someone of your age opens our eyes and our ears to understanding that, yeah, it doesn't make sense, but it's not our world to make sense.
I like that way of looking at things because it's like, I might not understand you, but I still respect that what you're going through is valid.
Mm-hmm. As we're talking, I'm understanding a lot more myself about the
pansexual.
Pansexual. I think that's the difference with our ages. Like for me, I like cut and dry. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so maybe I don't have cut and dry answers, but queerness is just an essential part of my identity as a Black, gay, 21-year-old. And maybe I won't always be pansexual and gender fluid. I'm still figuring out dating and all of that. There are days when I wish my gender was like Mr. Potato Head. Like, I wish my chest was just an accessory I could Velcro off, and by doing so, I wouldn't get rid of my femininity either. Being gender fluid is the perfect way for those two binaries to meet and form something new.
Kristen Tomlinson is in WNYC's Radio Rookies program, and you can hear her story in its entirety on the podcast called The Stakes. I'm here with Masha Gessen, and we've been talking about the gains and the changes in LGBTQ rights over the 50 years since Stonewall. Masha, trans issues and gender fluidity, these weren't things that people were talking about in any mass way years ago. How has the movement responded to that?
The movement has had some growing pains, both in including transgender people, but also in sort of embracing some of the conversation around gender. Certainly when I was coming out, the right thing to do was to embrace your womanhood. No, you don't want to be a man. You just want to be a woman who loves women. And it was lovely some 30 years later to be given permission to play with gender more actively. But I think some people are concerned, rightly so, that there's a conservative sort of undercurrent. It's a kind of essential view of gender that doesn't actually change how we treat gender. You can just have the freedom of switching from one to the other. The best example I can give you, a few years ago, there was a viral story in one of the glossy magazines about this wonderful family that once their five-year-old came out as transgender, repainted their room, which had been blue, and they painted it pink because this child wanted to be a girl. That's an example of what I'm talking about. It's a kind of essential view of gender that doesn't actually change how we treat gender. You can just have the freedom of switching from one to the other. Whereas within the LGBT community, it's a much different conversation, a much more interesting one about that problematizes gender as such.
Do you think we're headed for a point where we might not identify people by gender in an official way, that might be a subject of real political and social debate?
That's a really hard question to answer because it actually depends on the strength of the backlash that we're facing. The backlash is new, right? It basically began with the Trump administration. At this point, the movement, I think, hasn't quite figured out whether we're entirely on the defensive or where there's actually a positive agenda.
So in a way, Stonewall, the new Stonewall for this has not yet happened.
Well, Stonewall was started, as we used to say when I was younger, by drag queens, and now we say by transgender women of color. Stonewall was very much a battle about gender. We heard Martin Duberman say earlier that one of the pretexts used for raiding Stonewall was that people weren't wearing gender-appropriate clothing. For many years, the gender aspect was sort of on the back burner, but it's very much a part of Stonewall.
Which means that Stonewall will reverberate with meaning for years to come and with many more political battles to come, I would think.
I think that's right.
Masha Gessen is a staff writer at The New Yorker and the author of The Future is History and other books.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.